I was kind of looking over Warnings, which is your book. Can you talk about some of the ways in which you work to identify threats and the work that goes through kind of identifying threats and then also verifying kind of things that are real national security threats and things that are maybe not?
Well, in the book Warnings, we talk about people who see threats before everyone else does. And this frequently occurs. You have an expert, a certified expert, well-recognized in their field, and they do a study, and they have empirical data. And when they look at that data, they see a threat. They show it around other people. Sometimes other people don't see the threat. What we talk about in the book is how you deal with that phenomenon, how you find out whether the person who alone at the time has identified the threat is a Cassandra, meaning that they're right, or a Chicken Little, meaning that they're wrong. And we have a whole procedure we outline in the book for how you go about trying to figure out which they are.
You talk a lot about, you know, one of the things that you talk about is kind of research, particularly when it comes to issues of global warming and rising sea levels and the work that can be done and then the work that maybe can't be done, because by the time the research gets done, we're already seeing changes. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, one of the reasons that people don't agree with experts who are warning about problems is because sometimes those experts can't use the classic scientific method. The classic scientific method is to conduct an experiment and then do it again and have somebody else do it and make sure that the result is always the same. And in the real world, you can't always do that. As Jim Hansen, our Cassandra in the book on sea level rise, said, I can't melt Greenland's ice cap 3 or 4 times to see what happens. Now, the result of that is some scientists, some true to the academic method scientists, say, well, you know, then how can we be sure you're right? What you're saying is going to happen has never happened, so we can't replicate it in the lab. We call that phenomenon scientific reticence. And it's one of the reasons why, in many cases, these experts who see things coming cannot get everybody else in their scientific community on board, because the scientific method just can't apply to it.
You raised concerns about election hacking as early as 2010. I'm wondering, you know, here in 2018, what's changed? Is this still something that you think is a major concern?
Yeah, it's very much a major concern. We've looked at all sorts of machines and had hackers go and try to hack them. And in every case, they were able to do it and able to do it relatively quickly. Now, people say, well, you have to get access to the machine. Yeah, you do, but access to the machine is not impossible to get. And when we're talking about these incredibly close elections, as we are seeing again this year in Florida and Arizona and elsewhere, then a few votes in one key precinct not recorded, or a few key votes switched, can be the difference in the election.
I'm wondering, you know, are there any other issues that you're looking at that you're saying this is something people need to be paying attention to, but just aren't yet?
Well, I think the large issue that bothers me is that while the United States is diverted internally with all of these silly partisan conflicts, China and Russia, our near-peer competitor nations, are pushing the United States out of the way and in the global arena and replacing us as predominant power in region after region. And we're just not being agile and responsive enough. They're undermining alliances that it took us decades to build. Nations around the world no longer think we are reliable. And over time, that's going to have an impact on our economy and on our national security.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to me.
Very good. Take care.